Mr. Perot dropped out of the race because word came back to him, and when the third source via authority and one that literally was a friend and within the circle that knew, the Republican committee, campaign committee, had started their trail of dirty tricks. And it was planned a great smear campaign, not only against Ross Perot, bringing forth very, very embarrassing things, but also false pictures of his daughter who was to be married at that time. And when that was to hit the front page, they also planned to literally interrupt in the middle of her wedding. And they, of course, had chosen the one thing that Ross Perot could not bear, and that was an attack on his family. Of all the things that Ross Perot is, he is family first, and then nation. It all falls into the same slot. When you would ask me, well, what about God? How does religion fit? Religion doesn't fit at all, but he is a very godly man. He is an honest man, and we have faced the fact in the past that you have many replicas. But the one most wondrous thing about replication is that it requires a downloading of the being's mind to place all that data into it, to be usable, to be programmed. And the programming, the mind itself, the will of man, will not program down. If he is a godly person, he is not going to be programmed otherwise. That can be bred out of him and possibly even programmed out of him. But you have a situation here where you have a man that is good enough that he will not sell his honor.
Okay, I have a question.
All right.
Does that mean, are you saying that Ross Perot has been duplicated?
That's not exactly what I'm saying.
Well,
what I am saying is that if he is, were he to be, he would not, they would not be capable of reprogramming him according to his standard of activities. It takes an evil person or one of evil intent to literally be programmed well enough to be useful as a tool. This is why the man is so very dangerous to them.
Okay. Now, the question I have right now is, at one time, what I was getting out of what you were saying is that Ross Perot, perhaps when he was younger, he was a better man, and that he didn't have the fight in him to carry the fight out that he has now, and that since he had joined the Council on Foreign Relations and George Bush was his sponsor back in 1990, that he wasn't the man he was before, and perhaps even with some bad intent there. Am I reading that correct?
You're absolutely correct. And yet, even at that point, what he was doing, he admired these men. Don't misunderstand either what I said then or now. He fully admired these men. He had no way of knowing the vileness of the system that was going to try at some point to overtake him. He responded to the call every time they made a call. This man got very close to David Rockefeller. The facts are they overplayed their hand. They could have warmly, gently sucked him in. But you see, as evil always will do, they overplayed their hand. He was in their pocket. He wanted them to come forth so that he didn't have to do this. He didn't want to do this. And he was perfectly happy doing what he was doing, and part of that was making money. He is a capitalist. He is an American capitalist. He is also a patriot. He had no way, any more than you did, of realizing how bad the system is.
So he didn't realize, he doesn't realize the trilaterals, and he doesn't realize the families that are controlling and all that other stuff. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what you're hearing. Although he is becoming more and more and more daily now aware of it, because what he would just turn off as this kind of input, because that was not thinkable in his terms. You're going to find this true of Bogreitz. Bo Greitz was as naive as anyone that you could possibly imagine. He was killing for his country. And these ones have to see firsthand, they have to experience being on the other end of those massive guns that are set forth to annihilate you as a human being and everything you stand for. And he had to get it full blast right from the horse's mouth.
Okay, now the question would be, why is CBS, which is obviously controlled by the big boys, why are they going to let him, Ross Perot, tell his story about the dirty tricks? Why are they going to allow him to do that?
Well, that's simpler, too, than you understand. The Bilderbergers, which are a major high elite group of the Club of Rome or the Committee of 300, these ones meet every year. And over a year ago, a summer a year ago, it was decided that Clinton would be the one they would push. You have to understand that this same group managed to make sure that all of the power, the little black box, the little football that they call it for emergency pulling of very tragic things like starting nuclear wars, this was taken away from Bush. So what you have is a push to get Clinton into the White House. And Bush is not their favorite person anymore.
Okay, I remember.
So they're so what they're doing through the media will be to figuratively tear the man down, so that the only way that the man can win is by joining forces with Ross Perot. Now, if Ross Perot gets strong enough to carry this election, they would just destroy Bush in a minute.
Okay, would they let Perot be in the White House, or they still want Clinton? The way I understand it, and I saw the meeting, Bilderberger meeting, and I know he was in Germany, and I know they picked Bill Clinton, and I know that one of my guides said that Bill Clinton was going to be pushed for president, would probably make it if they could present a big smear campaign against Bush towards the end. There was going to be a big something coming out about Bush, okay? And that they were going to push this real hard, and I see where it's starting to happen now that I'm getting this information from you, and we do thank you very much for that.
Well, you will also have to understand that Clinton has made a public statement. There have been some pretty good statements made just in the last couple of days that you might be aware of. Clinton has said, I would like to keep this campaign on a very high level. Are you still receiving?
Yes. The question I have about Clinton is, now that they're pushing Clinton, the question I have, though, is twofold. Is Clinton going to be, I know you didn't tell me this before, there was an article I read the other day where Sananda supposedly said Bush was going to win again, and the information I had was that Clinton probably would win, given a dirty smear campaign, you know, if they could implement it towards the end of the election. What's correct? I mean, I know you really don't want to say anything because you want people to go out and still vote and all that, but can you enlighten me on that?
Well, it's even more remarkable than that. Because here's where the will of man comes in. And you do still have free choices, and nothing is going according to the way the elite are planning it right now. Perot, they overplayed their hand with Ross Perot. Now, the only way that Bush can possibly win is to some way join forces with Ross Perot. Now, remember, I gave you an entire layout of what the Republicans hoped to do, and that was to get rid of Quayle, like now, right now, this week. They would need to set Quayle aside and get Ross Perot some way to agree to come in as a running mate with Bush as vice president. Then that would sweep for the Republicans.
Okay, so
that doesn't look, they have pushed too hard. They have alienated Ross. He is angry at them, and this is one strong little man. And he is going to push this next week like you cannot believe. And he talks to the people. And this has undone the Clinton campaign also. And Clinton has said, well, I hope to keep this on a high level, but I may have to come down. In other words, we may have to hit Ross Perot with whatever is necessary. You are into what the politicians call the vulnerable window, where they can produce stories. There is no time to prove or disprove them. And yet you see what is unfolding from the campaign against Bush. You have the POWs over there. And Ross Perot happens to know that there are ones alive. And he has said so.
Okay. Now, on this election, we obviously have a good chance now. That's why you're saying pushing for Ross Perot, because they have made him mad to the point where he's going to do something good. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, he can win. He can win now if you once do your job. Now, once come back and say, well, how can you be this way? Everybody else with their newspapers, their little underground newspapers, let's call us that. The Patriot Papers are still pushing Grice. Why did you not give last week's and this week's front page to Bo Grice? Because I do not feel that Bo Grice could win. Do I wish that he could? Yes, I do, but he can't.
Right. I think we're all...
I don't want you to waste your vote, but neither do I want you to forget Bo Grice. If there is a possibility, and this angers Bo because he feels that Perot was lost. Well, Perot may have been temporarily lost, but that is not the point. And when I suggested that one's really pressure for Bo joining forces with Perot, at that time, Perot was hand in hand with Rockefeller and this group. He was being a patriot. He wanted to do something idealistic. Now he sees what idealistic is, and it is something that does not exist. It is dirty tricks, and it's meanness. And there's more heinous things afoot than he could have imagined. So what you ones are going to have to do is immediately following that election, you start on Wednesday, if Perot gets in there, you start pushing on Perot to get this man in there as his top advisor. Because the things constitutionally that Bo Grice says can be done can constitutionally be done. That is fact.
Okay, the question is Ross Perot aware of Bo Grice? Do they know each other?
Oh, yes, they know each other. And whether or not they even did know each other, you ones, he said, when I'm in there, I will listen to you. You can believe the man. If you press hard enough, he will have to consider it. And he will consider it at electronic town hall meetings. You don't put this election to sleep on Tuesday. If, in fact, Bush or Clinton win, it doesn't matter. You start pushing Perot and or Grice, preferably Grice, for president in 1996 immediately. You've got to get the name before the people.
Okay.
And you're going to have to take whatever tools you have, and you start with whatever change is possible. Now, they're not going to go down lightly, but they have made some very bad blunders with this satellite they've put up. That is a phaser system. And it has already caused one earthquake, and it was in Russia and Ukraine, right on the Georgia border. That was the worst error that your politicians have ever made, because that really has angered the Russians.
Did they do this recently, or are you talking about...
This week.
A few years ago.
2 days ago.
Russia, I didn't hear about an earthquake in Russia.
Bad earthquake, an almost 7-point earthquake, right?
I'm talking about the one in Egypt.
No, I'm talking about one this week in Russia.
Was it reported?
Oh, yes. A major earthquake.
I did not hear that.
Since your little cute satellites up there and your little shuttle.
Okay, now is that the new one they just put up, the new satellite they said was a laser system?
Yes.
Test Earth movements. I know I didn't believe that, but what is that? What did they put up there?
They put up there a mirrored receiving transmission system for pulses, for light beams, photon beams. And you see that it doesn't have the power, and they were not sure enough about its tuning. You have to tune it in on proper frequencies. You have to have an exacting orbit for it. And this is why they did it with a shuttle, with a craft large enough that these things could be manually done. They've got that shuttle orbiting closely with it in the same orbiting pattern. And the shuttle can carry enough payload, you see, to get the job done. And that's why it's going to be up there, and it's going to track it with it for 10 days.
Okay, so you're saying that the United States government, through that satellite, created that earthquake.
Yes, sir. And Russia is absolutely livid.
Okay.
And they have the capability of shattering your entire continent.
Didn't Russia, though, create... Now, how many hurricanes did Russia create this summer? Didn't they create Andrew and Aniki and probably the other one that hit Guam? Am I right about that?
Yes.
Okay, so what's the government? Is this a response to that? Or is our government saying you can't do that to us? Or?
Oh, it is just elite politics. Just elite politics, and essentially that's it, tit for tat.
Okay, so how is... we were told a long time ago that Russia and the United States really were not enemies on the highest levels, that they were always working together with technology and things like that. And then the first time I heard... Well, there's only been two times where I've heard we were enemies. Elizabeth Clare Prophet has said that continually. And when you started saying that we were actually enemies, then I started looking at it and, you know, looking into it a little bit more carefully. So are you saying that Russia is not part of the elite system, or is there some part of Russia, like the military, something that's going along with the plan?
You have, just like you do in the United States, you have two factions. And one is godly, if you will, and it literally is split off. I have to put it a little bit in these terms. If the elite are talking, and the disinformers, and those who literally are servants to the adversary are speaking to you, they say, well, we have these horrible enemies out in space. I would come back and say, no, man doesn't have any enemies in space. If you're godly, or if your intent is for freedom and balance of a planet, if you serve the adversary and you are amongst this elite antichrist bunch, and that's your term, but anti-God, and moving solely into the human experience in this greed and desire for enslavement of your fellow man, you've got a very big enemy out here, and I start at the head of the list. So each person has to decide where you are as to whether or not I am your enemy or your friend. I'm not going to do anything to either one of you at this point. I'm not going to do anything even to my enemy. But I am going to bring my people out. Do you hear what I'm saying, and do you understand the difference?
Yes, I do, and I appreciate that. Hearing words like this makes you feel like you can continue the fight.
That's right.
You're not alone, and that, you know, that you are being helped along. It's hard for a human being to fathom the fact that if something is bad, that some force that's greater than that is good, won't come in and stop it. And I understand why. It's just difficult to explain on those terms. Maybe you can explain that so that people can understand a little bit why you don't just come down and say stop.
Well, because it isn't my right to do that, for one thing. That's against cosmic laws. You are the ones experiencing. And that is force. And force is not of God. Now, that's just the way it is. Force is not of God. If there is any force involved, then you know that that is not a godly step. We don't have to force. We have the power. You ones have to awaken to the fact that you have the power and you've forgotten it. And that's exactly what the adversary is trying to hide from you. And when you get ready to accept that power of God again, you will know it, and you will use it, and you don't have to shoot anybody. These adversaries will destroy themselves. Unfortunately, in the process, all the ones unknowing and in between get smashed physically. Doesn't mean a thing spiritually, but it does mean that you can get hurt physically. But also, you ones must know you too have the power and the connection now, because we're sitting waiting. When that moment comes of total confrontation, we will bring you into safety.
Okay.
And it's important that you ones hear that. And this is what the adversary knows, and this is why they want to shut me up. It's very simple, and they certainly don't want me out there talking. And most ones, you see, will go and listen to what the adversary is saying, because, well, obviously, if he is who he says he is, he could blank out all the televisions and everybody would see him, etc., etc. Well, how do the masses of people know that hasn't happened, and they've hidden that from you? You see, everyone is not watching all the time. And when you can have a blackout on a massive communication system against one man on your place, like Bo Greitz, you know that they are going down hard. They're not going to roll over. And we're not going to jeopardize the safety of our own people just to prove a point to those who can't make up their mind.
Okay, now, next question. What is Russia planning to do next? I mean, obviously, you're saying, I guess through Tesla technology, that they scooped up before us and they were smart enough to go and explore it and utilize it.
Yes.
What are they planning next? I mean, are they planning something big? Are we looking at... I have this feeling that, and I told EJ this, I have this feeling that something massive is getting ready to happen. I just have this really dark feeling that California is in trouble and something big politically is going to happen.
Well, you've got a situation where if Bush is going to do it, he's going to do it this week to get control through emergency powers, emergency regulations. You've already got the United Nations troops. You've already got new internment camps prepared and ready. Things keep happening. Earthquake alerts keep happening. Those are key clues. You see, this was at Parkfield. This was a deliberate earthquake. And ones are now reporting. They heard the explosion at the beginning of that quake, and then nothing happened. No aftershocks, no nothing. But it gave window way, to move in this incredible technological equipment right under the noses of everybody. So they very publicly call a big earthquake alert. This allows them to do all sorts of things. And then, well, the alert's off, put all the equipment away, but they are able to leave that monitoring equipment in place. They are able to trace their systems, test them, make alerts at all the detention quarters. They have done incredible things. They even called an alert similar to this and are doing drills along the New Madrid Fault down the Mississippi to get control politically. Bush has to act this week.
Okay, so are you saying that now are the Russians going to do this with the earthquake, or is it our own technology that's going to dump California?
I can't tell. You have the technology now. The grid is serviceable. The receiving systems, you see, they just gave you this big hullabaloo on the 12th of October. They plugged in the Listen for ET system, remember?
Yes.
Those are receiving systems for these beams from this satellite.
Okay, does that include the ones in New Mexico by Socorro?
Oh, yes. It's a whole grid.
Now, they claim that those are listening devices, but what are they really?
They're receiving. They will receive radio beams. They'll receive pulse beams. They're receivers. and transmitters. They are amplifiers. They will not only receive those pulses, they will amplify them.
Okay, when you say receive pulses, they can receive them from satellites in space and transfer them to energy beams?
Yes. I mean, they can. You just are now locked in between. You are sandwiched in between. Now, there was there's something else, though, that is remarkable, and that is that from Vandenberg, they had to destroy a piece of their little network. They launched a missile yesterday, I believe. I don't even know that this will make the papers, but they did, and they had to destroy it.
And what was on that missile?
Well, it was another link for this whole contraption that they've got scattered around over your head now.
Is this thing in place yet, or are we still missing some pieces?
There are some pieces missing, but for all practical purposes, it's workable now.
Okay, now how does it compare to the Russian system? Is it anywhere close to what they have?
No.
Or are they
well,
far ahead of us?
No. They're still far ahead of you because they have bases out there on Mars. They've got bases on the moon. They have cosmic platforms. They are far advanced of you as far as technologically speaking because they are farther out. That means they can control everything between Earth's surface and themselves.
Was that story then that was in one of those tabloids that said that the earthquakes were being controlled by forces from Mars, and I think it was the hurricanes as well. Was that actually partially true?
That's partially true, yes.
Is that partially because of... Now, we were told through William Cooper, that United States and Russia has joint bases on the moon and Mars. Is there really joint bases, or are they separate?
Well, you've got... Now, once again, you are talking an elite group that are globalists, one world government under their control, working out of both of your nations. The split up of Russia is the best thing that ever happened to the Christian or the Christ. When I use the term Christian, please understand that I don't mean necessarily Jesus. I am talking about the Great Spirit. I am talking about God. God of light, the Christ is God. Christ is a state of being. It is a belief, an emotional thing. It's not the name of someone. And you see, the adversary versus God is the name of the game. And there were some very godly beings in Russia, and it turned out that those ones ended up with control over the cosmospheres. That does not mean that there are not some pretty evil beings out there on some of those cosmic platforms and things, because under the heavens, short of God, is not perfection. And just like you or these people here, you don't know everything, and so you grow up and you function according to the way you're trained. So you've got enemies and friends in the spaces around your planet. But farther out in the cosmic realm, intergalactically speaking, you don't have any enemies if you are of God or of balance. I realize that the terminology has been so destroyed and so misused that it's very hard for me to get a point across, because it does revolve around good and evil, and goodness obviously evolves from God of higher source, your higher being. And that is the basis of function in all dimensions off your place. Evil is something manufactured, created by man, and it only exists in the dimension where man functions as a physical being. It doesn't happen out in space.
Okay, now, let's get back to the question a little bit, though. Did you allow these bases on Mars and the moon? And, because, you know, I'm not really sure about this, because this is recent, but there was a saying that said that anything over 150 miles off of the planet's surface, you were going to retrieve it, and you weren't going to allow it to go into space anymore, and that included a warning to stay off the moon. Do you allow these, us, I don't want to even include myself in that because I really don't, but do you allow ships from Earth to go up to Mars and back and anywhere they want to go, or do you retrieve them?
No, there is a misunderstanding in my statement from the first phrase. We don't interfere. The only thing that we interfere with, 150 miles, it used to be 250 until about 3 years ago, or three springs ago. And then we were allowed to interfere with any nuclear warhead. Anything bearing nuclear warheads would be dismantled at 150 miles out. Weapons of nuclear nature would not be allowed farther out than that.
Okay, so
we have let radio equipment go, and now you see we end up with pulse beams. These are literal prana beams, and in themselves are harmless. We do not interfere with those. You see, God measures intent. What are you going to do with them? Well, anything that can disrupt the order, the cosmic universal order of the cosmos, will not be allowed out into the cosmos. And nuclear warheads are not allowed out past that 150-mile mark. And this is why your long-range and higher anti-ballistic missiles have no meaning, because they know, both your enemy and your friend knows, that those are going to be taken out, and we have done so. But we don't even have to do it anymore. Any that stray out there, one or the other of you will take them out. If the Russians send them over, you take them out, and if you send them over, they take them out. What you have going now, though, that really is more heinous, and you have it right on this shuttle, and this is how little your government cares about your own people and your astronauts, is on that shuttle. It's not as simple as hitting that with a beam from one of those cosmospheres and rendering it useless. They have it rigged so that if it is exploded by a particle beam, it will rain down on Earth radioactivity.
Okay, so that's why they don't shoot it down.
Now, that's why they don't shoot it down.
Here's another question. Did the Russians shoot down the Challenger? I've heard that they shot that.
Yes, actually, yes, they did.
And what was the reason?
But they did it in conjunction. Well, they did it in conjunction with your own people. And that again, was political tit for tat.
And what did we do first to them, and then they shot ours down?
Well, I would have to go back and look, and I believe that you'll find all that in the journals. But
okay,
you have to understand that there is so much going on for every plane that goes down intentionally. And you see, you can blind a pilot. You can hit him, pinpoint him with a beam, and he loses it. He is confused. And you can also hit a plane with one of these beams, and it absolutely wipes out every electronic piece of equipment on the plane, and it kills the motors. You are dead. And that's what they're doing. And they will, if they take one of yours out, then you make sure you take one equivalent of theirs out. So this game goes on all the time. And when they politically want to take somebody out, they began to do what they did with Andrew. And yet you see what is happening, and right here at this last minute, Bush is down in Florida again this last week trying to please the elite of the Cuban people, these businessmen, these ones that Castro kicked out. Bush is now playing ball with them to get more restrictions on Cuba. And one of the things you might find interesting is that his own son is one of the major ones that will benefit from the fall of Castro. They are just waiting to go in and take Cuba completely.
Mafu spoke about how Cuba was going to be invaded by United States forces. We were actually expecting this probably to happen while Bush was still in office and probably before the elections to get some popularity, gain some popularity back. Is this still planned to remove Castro through invasion?
Well, they're going to first try more embargo. You see, by December, there will be no fuel for vehicles and things in Cuba.
I see.
So it's touchy, and I'm not going to make those predictions. If Mafu wants to, Mafu may, but I feel that that's an error in good judgment.
Okay. Next question I have is how good are our flying vehicles? Do they visit the other planets regularly in the solar system?
No.
Okay. The next question is, if they don't, then we've been told, for instance, that the sun is not really hot.
It isn't.
Is that true?
That's true.
Could I actually walk on the sun? Can anybody walk on the sun?
If you could get past the heat in the aura.
Okay.
The sun itself is cold.
Okay, but what is the hot part of it? Is it?
Well, you've got gases and radiation coming off. And basically, most of that is not hot either, because what you're getting is light. But you have an extreme catalytic effect happening in the aura around that orb. And it would burn you. See, it's very, very cold in space. And what you are seeing are light flares. And the best way I can explain it is you are having things happening around that sun, much as if you burn wood, you are not actually burning the wood. The heat created is burning the gas that is being escaped from that wood. So if you looked, now you're going to get charcoal, so this isn't, don't take me literally here. You're going to get charcoal, which is going to be hot to the touch. You do not have that on the sun surface. But if you look at a flame, the flame is not on the wood itself. It is burning the gas vapor. That's what the flame is. Now, you are having visible light and invisible light coming off of the sun. The heat happens as it hits the particulate of any atmosphere. And depending on what the atmosphere is predominantly composed of, depends on the amount of heat that the sun creates as it strikes the planet's surface.
Okay, now are any of the other planets in the solar system inhabitable by our species? Because they seem to lie so much about, you know, they say, oh, this planet is X amount of centigrades below zero, and some of that is just plain out and out lies. So,
well, a lot of it's lies, but you would find that most of those planets were inhabitable, and you destroyed them very much like you've destroyed Earth.
Whoever
so you
on them destroyed them, or we did?
Well, you meaning species of human. These are places that were inhabitable. Mars was very inhabitable, and it was. And you had rivers, and then you have other planets right now that are nearing being habitable as you would recognize it now, Jupiter being one. You have to have moisture. And once you have stricken a planet and removed its ability to have atmosphere that brings rain, etc., then you have destroyed the balance that is required for human life to exist. Well, plant life, any kind of life.
Are they warm enough? Like Jupiter? Tell me a little bit about Jupiter and what it's all about and how it's nearing the life phase again.
Well, you would find that Jupiter is farther out but nearer to other planets in other galaxies. And starting with your ones near the sun, which would be your neighbors, your closer neighbors, these were the first ones inhabited. You had Tiamat, And this just goes on. This goes on and on and on for four volumes. I can't do it in just a few minutes. So when we talk about the possibility of habitation, you've got like 178 billion inhabitable qualified planets in your whole system. But in your own little solar system, you've about used them up. And this is why when we have to retrieve you, we will usually exchange you to some place where your brethren are. And you have a workable ancestral situation with Pleiades, most of you.
Okay,
so that's why home, you know, looks so good to you from Pleiades' angle. And Jupiter is out closer to that and probably would be your next habitable planet in this solar system. And that's very loosely speaking because we're talking millions of years. I have a little trouble because yesterday, for instance, in a personal meeting where we visit, and it comes up, and ones want to know about God and dreams and illusion and so forth. You have to understand that in the knowingness, when you come into knowing who you are and knowing all, and the oneness again with Creator. You have to understand that you are automatically then in a different dimension where there is no time, no space. You are just all there is. And therefore, this is your experience. This is your play. This is your dream. This is better known by the Aboriginal people than anyone. So you come by a closer knowledge or instinctive relationship with what I'm saying than does John Doe out here on the corner. Because your people have not gone so far away from the Great Spirit or the concept of knowing. You see, your people even were smart enough to know you had to hand down traditions orally because it would have the only way that it would span through the eons of time in this experience, this manifestation, this dream, if you will, would be mouth to mouth, mouth to ear. And it would have to be dependent upon the offspring to carry the word because the word, once written, is tampered with and gets changed.
Okay, let's change this just a little bit. You said you might look this up for me. What race of... Did I come from the same race of aliens that you came from originally?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm Pleiadian?
Well, no.
Okay,
Pleiadian...
Can you tell me which one?
Pleiades, it would mean nothing to you, son. Nothing. It is not, it's better just not to say that. Let us say that your ancestors got their training, got their going papers, got their working orders, and we trained together in Pleiades on one of the planets.
Okay, you and I trained together?
Oh, yes, sir. Don't think that you're lucky enough to get out from under that.
No, I don't. I think it's an honor. And
you ones are the pre-runners on the planet. Right now, you've come back to serve in the capacities that you are, getting ready for, let's say, our landing. I simply head the hosts.
Okay,
to
now,
come with the great teacher.
I have a feeling, too, that, you know, and I talked to you last time about that, and you said that I was in training with you, and I guess others, before I came to this lifetime, I've always had this really ugly feeling, you know, that whenever they speak of Christ and the life of Jesus, which is Sananda, that they have messed it up badly, and I always felt that part of the reason I came here is to make that, to do that story right, to change it the way it should be so that people could understand it correctly. Is that one of the things that I'm here for also?
Yes, because, you see, our major mission is to bring the word. That was the promise of God to the people as his last promise, if you would, to a species, would be that the truth would be brought forth and that the truth has been so muddled and so misused. And that's our reason to prepare for the one coming back so that ones know actually what they're looking for. And that's what you're here for.
What would I have to, you know, I've always wanted to do a book, and I've started several, and it's a like I feel like sometimes lost in all the information, but how would I be able to do that? I don't know if there's any time left, but is there enough time left that I can start this project and hopefully finish it, and that maybe you guys can help me, or you can help me, or I can be pointed in the right direction so that I can put this together in the right way that it should be done?
I'm going to tell you exactly what Little Crow told my scribe. Sit down and write. And she said, I haven't the vaguest idea what to write. Don't tell me your sad story, son. Sit down and write. And whatever pours out onto your paper is what you should write. And you'll get better at it and better at it and better at it. Don't predetermine in your consciousness what you think needs to be written. Sit down and write, and you will be surprised in the beginning how silly it looks.
Is that just the way I usually do it, like just receiving the...
Just sit and receive. Clear your space. Make sure all dark energies are out of your space. Make that announcement, I will only receive from the lighted source. And then you start to write. And at first it'll just seem like your thoughts, because that's what you will write. You will write your thoughts, and pretty soon you will realize they are guided.
Okay. Should I begin this now? I want to. I mean, I'm just saying that with your permission, should I begin?
Months ago you should have begun, but you see, you're doing it right. You're doing it right. Stop judging. Stop judging yourself, and stop judging what it is you think you should do. Sit down and get God there with you. The Great Spirit sits with you, just waiting to be able to be allowed to speak. And this is the way that the speaking begins, is through the writing. It's the time now to put writing and thoughts and oral traditions to paper so that other ones can see it, because they don't have your traditions. And it's the time now to make the historical records for any species, any generations to come after you. These are the things that will be kept in the vaults, in security, for another time and another place, exactly as this one. Just as wonderful artifacts and wonderful historical things like the...
Let's start there. Why did he...
Mr. Perot dropped out of the race because word came back to him, and when the third source via authority, and one that literally was a friend and within the circle that knew, the Republican committee, campaign committee, had started their trail of dirty tricks. And it was planned a great smear campaign, not only against Ross Perot, bringing forth very, very embarrassing things, but also false pictures of his daughter who was to be married at that time. And when that was to hit the front page, they also planned to literally interrupt in the middle of her wedding. And they, of course, had chosen the one thing that Ross Perot could not bear, and that was an attack on his family. Of all the things that Ross Perot is, he is family first, and then nation. It all falls into the same slot. When you would ask me, well, what about God? How does religion fit? Religion doesn't fit at all, but he is a very godly man. He is an honest man, and we have faced the fact in the past that you have many replicas. But the one most wondrous thing about replication is that it requires a downloading of the being's mind to place all that data into it, to be usable, to be programmed. And the programming, the mind itself, the will of man, will not program down. If he is a godly person, he is not going to be programmed otherwise. That can be bred out of him, and possibly even programmed out of him. But you have a situation here where you have a man that is good enough that he will not sell his honor.
Okay, I have a question.
All right.
Does that mean, are you saying that Ross Perot has been duplicated?
That's not exactly what I'm saying.
Well,
what I am saying is that if he is, were he to be, he would not, they would not be capable of reprogramming him according to his standard of activities. It takes an evil person or one of evil intent to literally be programmed well enough to be useful as a tool. This is why the man is so very dangerous to them.
Okay. Now, the question I have right now is, at one time, what I was getting out of what you were saying is that Ross Perot, perhaps when he was younger, he was a better man, and that he didn't have the fight in him to carry the fight out that he has now, and that since he had joined the Council on Foreign Relations and George Bush was his sponsor back in 1990, that he wasn't the man he was before, and perhaps even with some bad intent there. Am I reading that correct?
You're absolutely correct. And yet, even at that point, what he was doing, he admired these men. Don't misunderstand either what I said then or now. He fully admired these men. He had no way of knowing the vileness of the system that was going to try at some point to overtake him. He responded to the call every time they made a call. This man got very close to David Rockefeller. The facts are they overplayed their hand. They could have warmly, gently sucked him in. But you see, as evil always will do, they overplayed their hand. He was in their pocket. He wanted them to come forth so that he didn't have to do this. He didn't want to do this. And he was perfectly happy doing what he was doing, and part of that was making money. He is a capitalist. He is an American capitalist. He is also a patriot. He had no way, any more than you did, of realizing how bad the system is.
So he didn't realize, he doesn't realize the trilaterals, and he doesn't realize the families that are controlling and all that other stuff. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what you're hearing, although he is becoming more and more and more daily now aware of it, because what he would just turn off as this kind of input, because that was not thinkable in his terms. You're going to find this true of Bo Greitz. Bo Greitz was as naive as anyone that you could possibly imagine. He was killing for his country. And these ones have to see firsthand, they have to experience being on the other end of those massive guns that are set forth to annihilate you as a human being and everything you stand for. And he had to get it full blast right from the horse's mouth.
Okay, now the question would be, why is CBS, which is obviously controlled by the big boys, why are they going to let him, Ross Perot, tell his story about the dirty tricks? Why are they going to allow him to do that?
Well, that's simpler, too, than you understand. The Bilderbergers, which are a major high elite group of the Club of Rome or the Committee of 300, these ones meet every year. And over a summer a year ago, it was decided that Clinton would be the one they would push. You have to understand that this same group managed to make sure that all of the power, the little black box, the little football that they call it for emergency pulling of very tragic things like starting nuclear wars, this was taken away from Bush. So what you have is a push to get Clinton into the White House. And Bush is not their favorite person anymore.
Okay, I remember.
So they're so what they're doing through the media will be to figuratively tear the man down, so that the only way that the man can win is by joining forces with Ross Perot. Now, if Ross Perot gets strong enough to carry this election, they would just destroy Bush in a minute.
Okay, would they let Perot be in the White House, or they still want Clinton? The way I understand it, and I saw the meeting, Bilderberger meeting, I know he was in Germany, and I know they picked Bill Clinton, and I know that one of my guides said that Bill Clinton was going to be pushed for president, would probably make it. if they could present a big smear campaign against Bush towards the end, there was going to be a big something coming out about Bush, okay? And that they were going to push this real hard, and I see where it's starting to happen now that I'm getting this information from you, and we do thank you very much for that.
Well, you will also have to understand that Clinton has made a public statement. There have been some pretty good statements made just in the last couple of days that you might be aware of. Clinton has said, I would like to keep this campaign on a very high level. Are you still receiving?
Yes. The question I have about Clinton is, now that they're pushing Clinton, the question I have, though, is twofold. Is Clinton going to be, I know you didn't tell me this before, there was an article I read the other day where Sananda supposedly said Bush was going to win again, and the information I had was that Clinton probably would win, given a dirty smear campaign, you know, if they could implement it towards the end of the election. What's correct? I mean, I know you really don't want to say anything because you want people to go out and still vote and all that, but can you enlighten me on that?
Well, it's even more remarkable than that. Because here's where the will of man comes in. And you do still have free choices, and nothing is going according to the way the elite are planning it right now. Perot, they overplayed their hand with Ross Perot. Now, the only way that Bush can possibly win is to some way join forces with Ross Perot. Now, remember, I gave you an entire layout of what the Republicans hoped to do, and that was to get rid of Quayle, like now, right now, this week. They would need to set Quayle aside and get Ross Perot some way to agree to come in as a running mate with Bush as vice president. Then that would sweep for the Republicans.
Okay. So
that doesn't look, they have pushed too hard. They have alienated Ross. He is angry at them, and this is one strong little man. And he is going to push this next week like you cannot believe. And he talks to the people. And this has undone the Clinton campaign also. And Clinton has said, well, I hope to keep this on a high level, but I may have to come down. In other words, we may have to hit Ross Perot with whatever is necessary. You are into what the politicians call the vulnerable window, where they can produce stories. There is no time to prove or disprove them. And yet you see what is unfolding from the campaign against Bush. You have the POWs over there. And Ross Perot happens to know that there are ones alive. And he has said so.
Okay. Now, on this election, we obviously have a good chance now. That's why you're saying pushing for Ross Perot, because they have made him mad to the point where he's going to do something good. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, he can win. He can win now if you ones do your job. Now, ones come back and say, well, how can you be this way? Everybody else with their newspapers, their little underground newspapers, let's call us that. The Patriot Papers are still pushing Grice. Why did you not give last week's and this week's front page to Bo Grice? Because I do not feel that Bo Grice could win. Do I wish that he could? Yes, I do, but he can't.
Right. I think we're all...
I don't want you to waste your vote, but neither do I want you to forget Bo Grice. If there is a possibility, and this angers Bo because he feels that Perot was lost. Well, Perot may have been temporarily lost, but that is not the point. And when I suggested that one's really pressure for Bo joining forces with Perot, at that time, Perot was hand in hand with Rockefeller and this group. He was being a patriot. He wanted to do something idealistic. Now he sees what idealistic is, and it is something that does not exist. It is dirty tricks, and it's meanness. And there's more heinous things afoot than he could have imagined. So what you ones are going to have to do is immediately following that election, you start on Wednesday, if Perot gets in there, you start pushing on Perot to get this man in there as his top advisor. Because the things constitutionally that Bogart says can be done can constitutionally be done. That is fact.
Okay, the question is Ross Perot aware of Bogart? Do they know each other?
Oh, yes, they know each other. And whether or not they even did know each other, you ones, he said, when I'm in there, I will listen to you. You can believe the man. If you press hard enough, he will have to consider it. And he will consider it at electronic town hall meetings. You don't put this election to sleep on Tuesday. If, in fact, Bush or Clinton win, it doesn't matter. You start pushing Perot and or Greitz, preferably Greitz, for president in 1996 immediately. You've got to get the name before the people.
Okay.
And you're going to have to take whatever tools you have, and you start with whatever change is possible. Now, they're not going to go down lightly, but they have made some very bad blunders with this satellite they put up. That is a phaser system, and it has already caused one earthquake, and it was in Russia and Ukraine, right on the Georgia border. That was the worst error that your politicians have ever made, because that really has angered the Russians.
Did they do this recently, or are you talking about...
This week.
A few years ago.
2 days ago.
Russia, I didn't hear about an earthquake in Russia.
Oh, bad earthquake, an almost 7-point earthquake, right?
I'm talking about the one in Egypt.
No, I'm talking about one this week in Russia.
Was it reported?
Oh, yes, a major earthquake.
I did not hear that.
Since your little cute satellites up there and your little shuttle.
Okay, now is that the new one they just put up, the new satellite they said was a laser system?
Yes.
Test Earth movements? I know I didn't believe that, but what did they put up there?
They put up there a mirrored receiving transmission system for pulses, for light beams, photon beams. And you see that it doesn't have the power, and they were not sure enough about its tuning. You have to tune it in on proper frequencies. You have to have an exacting orbit for it. And this is why they did it with a shuttle, with a craft large enough that these things could be manually done. They've got that shuttle orbiting closely with it in the same orbiting pattern. And the shuttle can carry enough payload, you see, to get the job done. And that's why it's going to be up there, and it's going to track it with it for 10 days.
Okay, so you're saying that the United States government, through that satellite, created that earthquake?
Yes, sir. Okay. And Russia is absolutely livid.
Okay.
And they have the capability of shattering your entire continent.
Didn't Russia, though, create... Now, how many hurricanes did Russia create this summer? Didn't they create Andrew and Aniki and probably the other one that hit Guam? Am I right about that?
Yes.
Okay, so what's the government? Is this a response to that? Or is our government saying you can't do that to us? Or?
Oh, it is just elite politics. Just elite politics, and essentially that's it, tit for tat.
Okay, so how is... We were told a long time ago that Russia and the United States really were not enemies on the highest levels, that they were always working together with technology and things like that. And then the first time I heard, well, there's only been two times where I've heard we were enemies. Elizabeth Clare Prophet has said that continually. And when you started saying that we were actually enemies, then I started looking at it and, you know, looking into it a little bit more carefully. So are you saying that Russia is not part of the elite system, or is there some part of Russia, like the military, something that's going along with the plan?
You have, just like you do in the United States, you have two factions. And one is godly, if you will, and it literally is split off. I have to put it a little bit in these terms. If the elite are talking, and the disinformers, and those who literally are servants to the adversary are speaking to you, they say, well, we have these horrible enemies out in space. I would come back and say, no, man doesn't have any enemies in space. If you're godly, or if your intent is for freedom and balance of a planet, if you serve the adversary and you are amongst this elite antichrist bunch, and that's your term, but anti-God, and moving solely into the human experience in this greed and desire for enslavement of your fellow man, you've got a very big enemy out here, and I start at the head of the list. So each person has to decide where you are as to whether or not I am your enemy or your friend. I'm not going to do anything to either one of you at this point. I'm not going to do anything even to my enemy, but I am going to bring my people out. Do you hear what I'm saying, and do you understand the difference?
Yes, I do, and I appreciate that. Hearing words like this makes you feel like you can continue the fight.
That's right.
You're not alone, and that, you know, that you are being helped along. It's hard for a human being to fathom the fact that if something is bad, that some force that's greater than that, that is good, won't come in and stop it. And I understand why. It's just difficult to explain on those terms. Maybe you can explain that so that people can understand a little bit why you don't just come down and say stop.
Well, because it isn't my right to do that, for one thing. That's against cosmic laws. You are the ones experiencing, and that is force. And force is not of God. Now, that's just the way it is. Force is not of God. If there is any force involved, then you know that that is not a godly step. We don't have to force. We have the power. You ones have to awaken to the fact that you have the power and you've forgotten it. And that's exactly what the adversary is trying to hide from you. And when you get ready to accept that power of God again, you will know it, and you will use it, and you don't have to shoot anybody. These adversaries will destroy themselves. Unfortunately, in the process, all the ones unknowing and in between get smashed physically. Doesn't mean a thing spiritually, but it does mean that you can get hurt physically. But also, you ones must know you too have the power and the connection now, because we're sitting waiting. When that moment comes of total confrontation, we will bring you into safety.
Okay.
And it's important that you ones hear that. And this is what the adversary knows, and this is why they want to shut me up. It's very simple. And they certainly don't want me out there talking. And most ones, you see, will go and listen to what the adversary is saying, because, well, obviously, if he is who he says he is, he could blank out all the televisions and everybody would see him, etc., etc. Well, how do the masses of people know that hasn't happened? And they've hidden that from you. You see, everyone is not watching all the time. And when you can have a blackout on a massive communication system against one man on your place, like Bo Grites, you know that they are going down hard. They're not going to roll over. And we're not going to jeopardize the safety of our own people just to prove a point to those who can't make up their mind.
Okay, now, next question. What is Russia planning to do next? I mean, obviously, you're saying, I guess, through Tesla technology that they scooped up before us, and they were smart enough to go and explore it and utilize it.
Yes.
What are they planning next? I mean, are they planning something big? Are we looking at... I have this feeling that, and I told EJ this, I have this feeling that something massive is getting ready to happen. I just have this really dark feeling that California is in trouble and something big politically is going to happen.
Well, situation where if Bush is going to do it, he's going to do it this week to get control through emergency powers, emergency regulations. You've already got the United Nations troops. You've already got new internment camps prepared and ready. Things keep happening. Earthquake alerts keep happening. Those are key clues. You see, this was at Parkfield. This was a deliberate earthquake. And ones are now reporting. They heard the explosion at the beginning of that quake, and then nothing happened. No aftershocks, no nothing. But it gave window way, to move in this incredible technological equipment right under the noses of everybody. So they very publicly call a big earthquake alert. This allows them to do all sorts of things. And then weld the alerts off, put all the equipment away, but they are able to leave that monitoring equipment in place. They are able to trace their systems, test them, make alerts at all the detention quarters. They have done incredible things. They even called an alert similar to this and are doing drills along the New Madrid Fault down the Mississippi to get control politically. Bush has to act this week.
Okay, so are you saying that now are the Russians going to do this with the earthquake, or is it our own technology that's going to dump California?
I can't tell. You have the technology now. The grid is serviceable. The receiving systems, you see, they just gave you this big hullabaloo on the 12th of October. They plugged in the Listen for ET system, remember?
Yes.
Those are receiving systems for these beams from this satellite.
Okay, does that include the ones in New Mexico by Socorro?
Oh, yes. It's a whole grid.
Now, they claim that those are listening devices, but what are they really?
They're receiving. They will receive radio beams. They'll receive pulse beams. They'll receive. They're receivers and transmitters. They are amplifiers. They will not only receive those pulses, they will amplify them.
Okay, when you say receive pulses, they can receive them from satellites in space and transfer them to energy beams?
Yes. I mean, they can. You just are now locked in between. You are sandwiched in between. Now, there was there's something else, though, that is remarkable, and that is that from Vandenberg, they had to destroy a piece of their little network. They launched a missile yesterday, I believe. I don't even know that this will make the papers, but they did, and they had to destroy it.
And what was on that missile?
Well, it was another link for this whole contraption that they've got scattered around over your head now.
Is this thing in place yet, or are we still missing some pieces?
There are some pieces missing, but for all practical purposes, it's workable now.
Okay, now how does it compare to the Russian system? Is it anywhere close to what they have?
No.
Or are they far ahead of us?
No. They're still far ahead of you because they have bases out there on Mars. They've got bases on the moon. They have cosmic platforms. They are far advanced of you as far as technologically speaking because they are farther out. That means they can control everything between Earth's surface and themselves.
Was that story then that was in one of those tabloids that said that the earthquakes were being controlled by forces from Mars, and I think it was the hurricanes as well, was that actually partially true?
That's partially true, yes.
Is that partially because of... We were told through William Cooper, that United States and Russia has joint bases on the moon and Mars. Is there really joint bases, or are they separate?
Well, you've got, now once again, you are talking an elite group that are globalists, one world government under their control, working out of both of your nations. The split up of Russia is the best thing that ever happened to the Christian or the Christ. When I use the term Christian, please understand that I don't mean necessarily Jesus. I am talking about the Great Spirit. I am talking about God. God of light. The Christ is God. Christ is a state of being. It is a belief, an emotional thing. It's not the name of someone. And you see, the adversary versus God is the name of the game. And there were some very godly beings in Russia, and it turned out that those ones ended up with control over the cosmospheres. That does not mean that there are not some pretty evil beings out there on some of those cosmic platforms and things, because under the heavens, short of God, is not perfection. And just like you or these people here, you don't know everything. And so you grow up and you function according to the way you're trained. So you've got enemies and friends in the spaces around your planet. But farther out in the cosmic realm, intergalactically speaking, you don't have any enemies if you are of God or of balance. I realize that the terminology has been so destroyed and so misused that it's very hard for me to get a point across, because it does revolve around good and evil, and goodness obviously evolves from God of higher source, your higher being. And that is the basis of function in all dimensions of your place. Evil is something manufactured, created by man, and it only exists in the dimension where man functions as a physical being. It doesn't happen out in space.
Okay, now, let's get back to the question a little bit, though. Did you allow these bases on Mars and the Moon? And because I'm not really sure about this, because this is recent, but there was a saying that said that anything over 150 miles off of the planet's surface, you were going to retrieve it, and you weren't going to allow it to go into space anymore. And that included a warning to stay off the Moon. Do you allow these us? I don't want to even include myself in that, because I really don't. But do you allow ships from Earth to go up to Mars and back and anywhere they want to go, or do you retrieve them?
No, there is a misunderstanding in my statement from the first phrase. We don't interfere. The only thing that we interfere with, 150 miles, it used to be 250 until about 3 years ago, or three springs ago. And then we were allowed to interfere with any nuclear warhead. Anything bearing nuclear warheads would be dismantled at 150 miles out. Weapons of nuclear nature would not be allowed farther out than that.
Okay. So
we have let radio equipment go, and now you see we end up with pulse beams. These are literal prana beams, and in themselves are harmless. We do not interfere with those. You see, God measures intent. What are you going to do with them? Well, anything that can disrupt the order, the cosmic universal order of the cosmos, will not be allowed out into the cosmos. And nuclear warheads are not allowed out past that 150-mile mark. And this is why your long-range and higher anti-ballistic missiles have no meaning, because they know, both your enemy and your friend knows, that those are going to be taken out, and we have done so. But we don't even have to do it anymore. Any that stray out there, one or the other of you will take them out. If the Russians send them over, you take them out, and if you send them over, they take them out. What you have going now, though, that really is more heinous, and you have it right on this shuttle, And this is how little your government cares about your own people and your astronauts, is on that shuttle, it's not as simple as hitting that with a beam from one of those cosmospheres and rendering it useless. They have it rigged so that if it is exploded by a particle beam, it will rain down on Earth radioactivity.
Okay, so that's why they don't shoot it down. Now,
that's why they don't shoot it down.
Here's another question. Did the Russians shoot down the Challenger? I've heard that they shot that.
Yes, actually, yes, they did.
And what was the reason?
But they did it in conjunction. Well, they